according to Matthew. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of our Lord.
Been a little under the weather, so I'm not in my usual voice today. Bear with me and let me know if you can't hear me. I'll start shouting. Well, I know that everyone is curious to know about how my hair experiment went. It was, for those of you who knew, it was last week, a beautiful lavender. And, well, 2 weeks ago. And now, like those precious little flowers, it has faded to a kind of a silver blue. So I'm actually still in my embracing my inner Episcocat granny mode. So how many know, when I say Episcocats, how many know what I'm talking about? Thank you, Allison, and Owen, thank you, because Kim, you don't know what Episcocats are? Wow. I'm going to. In fact, I can just skip this. Episcocats was back in a different day in the Episcopal Church, and I think it was by Church Women United, or it was by the Episcopal Women's Auxiliary. And it was a calendar that they produced every year, and it had cute little pictures of kittens saying things like, saying church things. So it was like, before there were memes, there were Episcocat calendars, and so you also, that was back in a day when you had, only candy maintains the tradition now. In those days, in Episcopal churches, you found more women would show their dignity by, you know, their hair would be sometimes dyed liturgically. So you would have lavender and purples in Advent, and you would even see shades of green. And yes, these were real Episcopal women, let me tell you. Now, one woman, just to complete the picture for you, this is a true name. One woman who I knew who maintained that tradition, this is when I became an Episcopalian, back in the 70s, her name was Flossie Barnhart. That sounds like it should be on a PBS show about a parish somewhere. Flossie Barnhart, and she would have purple hair and green hair and all like that. But let me move now from the ridiculous into the profound. I want to tell you thank you for your prayers and notes of condolence and sympathy for my family, on behalf of my stepdad. He has been someone we've been praying for. You've been praying for a guy named Jack, and he passed away last week. And so he was my stepdad for 35 years, a wonderful man. He was a lifer Marine, served in both Korea and Vietnam, and was a wonderful husband to my mom and grandpa to my nephew, and because of how relationships kind of changed over the years, He was also my father's best friend. I was lucky enough to have parents who, though divorced, later found ways of reconciling and still being friends. And my dad and Jack were best of buddies and had a lot of their own adventures together, mostly because of my sister. She's not here. But anyway, God bless his memory. He was a blessing to us all. These are all my silly hair, the loss of a loved one. These are all signs of what our Buddhist friends would talk about, impermanence. Anitta is the Buddhist term for it. And that sense of anitta, that sense of impermanence, can lead us to a deeper understanding of one of the great noble truths of the Buddhist faith, which is dukkha, which is suffering. All life is suffering. In a sense, we can say all life is change. Change. And change for some of us is tougher than it is for others. I'm a person who, because of experiences in my life, I wrestle with PTSD. And change can be crippling at times. But you just, some days it's just bite the bullet and move on. You know, other days it's like I just want to crawl under the bed. Everybody handles change differently in their lives. We think about changes that are going on in churches right now. We can think of changes that are happening in our country and in our news feeds and so on like that. We're in a time of tumultuous change. Change. And change leads us to perhaps feel insecure. Things aren't the way they were. Things are changing. Theologian and ecclesiologist, which means expert on the church, Diane Butler Bass, wrote in her 2012 book called Christianity After Religion, she wrote this about change. She said, exponential change creates exponential fear, along with exponential hope. Change is about endings and beginnings and the necessary relationship between the two. One can almost hear echoes of the serenity prayer in her statement there. God, grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, to know how they fit together and work together. How many science fiction fans do I have here? How many science fiction reader fans do I have here? Okay. If I mention the name Octavia Butler, does that ring a bell for anyone? Huh? Do I have Octavia Butler? Okay. So she wrote a book called The Parable of the Sower. And it's a book about changes because, like a lot of modern science fiction, it's about a post-apocalyptic world in which everything's gone to hell in a handbasket. The environment, everything kind of fell apart, and now the world is reduced to people living in small, tight, defensive communities, walled communities in which they're all, you know, us against them. And of course, there's cannibals. You've got to have some cannibals if you're going to have a post-apocalyptic science fiction world. But our heroine in the story, our hero of the story, is a young woman. Her name is Lauren. Lauren kind of has this discovery, kind of like a revelation. She's left the religion of her father. Her father was the Baptist preacher in this community, in this gated community that they had put together. But she wasn't a Baptist. She just decided that. But she began to have this revelation of a new religion or a new way of being. And she called it Earth Seed. And here's one of Lauren's aphorisms that she came to. All that you touch, you change. All that you change, changes you. The only lasting truth is change. Later on, as she continues developing her philosophy about Earthseed, she comes to this realization: God is change. I bring that up because today's scripture, if we looked at all three scriptures, and I'll share the Romans lesson with you that we didn't get to hear today. Our lessons today, if I were to try to find some thread to put them together without, you know, stringing them together like pearls, but if I were to find a thread in today's readings from Exodus, from the Gospel of Matthew, and from the Epistle to Paul, the 12th chapter, for all of you good Bible scholars out there, or you've got your phone, it's Romans 12, particularly verse 1 and 2. It's about change. Change. Three kinds of change. Romans 12, 1 through 2. Susan, you should have had that memorized by now. Sandy does, but we won't ask her to show off. So, how many remember Bible Challenge memory verse work? Okay. Anyway, so changes which come upon us, that's the first kind of change that we've all experienced. Change that comes upon us over which we have no control. We could say that that kind of change is happenstantial. The fire happens, the marriage falls apart and I didn't know about it. There's a death in the family. There's an unexpected catastrophic illness. The car jumped the rail. You get what I mean. There are changes that happen we have no control over. Then there are changes which we do have control over, which are intentional. I decide, I put my mind to it, and by gosh, we're going to make a change here. Okay? So, happenstantial changes, two intentional changes. And I'm going to say that there's a third type of change, and that's the one that we're really concerned about here in church or in spiritual life. And that is changes which are relational. Changes that happen because who do you know? Who do you hang out with? Relational changes. I would like to put on my best Charles Lawton voice now because this verse deserves to be read by someone like Charles Lawton. Now there arose a new king in Egypt who knew not Joseph. That is one of the most poignant, powerful verses to me in Scripture, Exodus 1:8. Because from that one simple statement, everything flows from that. Everything that we're going to find out about the Exodus and the plagues and the Passover and all of the major, you know, the backstory of the Christian religion happened because of this one-liner. There arose a new king in Egypt who knew not Joseph. Happenstantial change. The Hebrew people living in Egypt 3,700 years ago, and suddenly this new migration comes in from the east. From kind of an Asiatic migration comes in. These are people that archaeologists refer to as the Hyksos. They come in, and suddenly we have the 15th dynasty in Egypt, and there's this massive displacement and change, particularly, as our story tells it, for the Hebrew people. Saying that you don't know Joseph is to say you don't know the whole bunch of them. And so the story changes, happenstantial change. Everything was good, and then suddenly everything is rotten. And everything actually changes for everybody. I mean, the Hyksos come in, they begin their oppressive ways, and just think, even some of the Hebrew story is a little bit oppressive as to what happens to just average Joe lunchbox Egyptian. I was just going to work, and now my firstborn's dead. I didn't know what the king did. I'm just busy nose to the grindstone here. You see, everything changed for everybody in that story. Happenstantial change. And then for Israel, things don't necessarily get better. What do they go? They go into 40 years of wandering, kind of a displacement, and now they're just kind of more and more refugee status for 40 years. Change. Happenstantial change. What to do? We cry out to God. Yes, God is with us. And was with us on the 40-year journey, but didn't show us the way out of here any quicker. Happenstantial change. Many of us know, and we can have our list that we could make right now of things that have happened to me. Don't know why, but they did. Don't know why, but they did. You know, of course, sometimes we can say, well, I sort of was there. So from happenstantial change, we can move to another type of change, change that we do have control over, or at least we can try to have some control over. That is the intentional change. Let me share with you what Paul said. I appeal to you, this is Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I appeal to you, therefore, sisters and brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God. Wonderful word there. Paul is saying to the Romans, and now we're at about the year 56. Paul is saying to the Romans, you know, you can change your mind. You can change your attitude. You don't have to let the world squeeze you into its mold. That's the wonderful line from a 1950s translation of Scripture by J.B. Phillips. It's a beautiful translation. And he said, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. There can be intentional change. Some of us have experienced intentional change. There is no such thing as intentional change that doesn't require discipline. There is no such thing as intentional change that doesn't require a program. There is no such thing as intentional change which just kind of happens. We engage intentional change. In fact, the word that Paul uses for transformed is the Greek word metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. Now, if you're a caterpillar, metamorphosis is happenstantial. It's just how you be a caterpillar. Boom, you do your caterpillar thing, you become a butterfly. If you're a tadpole, change has happened, stantial. You don't do anything, you just get to be a frog. Okay, you're an amphibian. That's not true for any of us. None of us will become anything without intention. I mean, we get our happenstance in life, we get our circumstances in life. But with discipline, we can transform. We don't have to remain caterpillars. We get to become butterflies. My hair was proof of that. So, change number two, intentional change. Happenstantial change happens to me. Intentional change happens because I put myself into a discipline that allows change. But I want to talk about then a third type of change, which can be kind of like the place where things come together, the happenstance of life and the intentions of life come together. And it's in our gospel story today, and now we're going to segue up to the year 90 in the Gospel of Matthew, the way Matthew tells the specific story. We get to wave our flag today because this is a Petrine story. This is particularly for us here at St. Peter's. This is about our guy, St. Peter. And this is where Simon, I'll try to call him Simon instead of his new name, his new nickname, Petros or Cephas. He gets a new name. He has a name change. He's Simon, and then Jesus calls him Peter, the rock. He gets a new name, a name change, because he's in relationship to Jesus, and he has given Jesus a new name. See, it's relational. Jesus names Simon, and Simon names Jesus. And the name that Peter gives to Jesus is, "You are the Anointed One. You are the Christ." He was Jesus of Nazareth. Now he's Jesus Christ. That's not his last name. You are the Christ. And just as Jesus says to Peter, "You're the rock," it's because they're in relationship now. And Jesus names Peter just as Peter named Jesus. And that is unmediated. And I want to share about the importance of that, because I really want to believe that if we do anything here at St. Peter's Episcopal Church, is that we promote, we may not say it like this, that we promote the unmediated relationship between you and God, you and the divine, you and the Almighty. And here's how that works. Jesus says, if you think about the story, he says, "Well, who do people say that I am?" And they give all kinds of answers. Some say you're this, some say you're that. And some might have even been like, had they been like in a certain kind of thing, they might have opened up their Bibles and they might have said, "Well, you're this and you're that, and the prophecy says this, and this is who you are," And that's all nice. That's all nice creed stuff. Who does the creed say that I am? Okay, we know that. Who does the Bible say that I am? Fine. Great. Great. And then Jesus turns it on its head and said, "Yeah, but I want to know who you say I am. Not who you think you're supposed to say I am. I don't want you to say what you think I want to hear. I want you to tell me who you say I am." And Peter makes what I grew up calling the good confession. "You're Christ. You're my Lord. You are the great mystery which is present to me right now." And Jesus says, "You know what, Simon Peter? Nothing revealed this to you. You got this directly from God. Unmediated. You got this directly from God." And this is important in our spiritual lives, that a church, if a church is going to really be that institution upon which the gates of hell will not prevail against, like what Jesus promises in this scripture, it means that it's going to be a community which kind of holds space and holds space so that you can meet God, so that our neighbor can meet God. Okay? Not trying to like tell people like, "Now you need to meet God like this. Let me tell you how you need to meet God." No. We're going to make a space where you're safe enough so that you can meet God on your terms and on God's terms. There we are. So that's relational. So there's change which happens, which is happenstantial. There's change which happens, which is intentional. And there's change which happens when we simply put ourselves in the presence of the Spirit, in the presence of God, in the presence of the divine, that when we put ourselves there, change can happen. Each one of us can receive a new name, as perhaps we offer God a new name in our lives. See, it's relational. It's always a two-way street. In the divine relationship of love, it's always a two-way street. So I think about, back to Diane Butler Bass and her quote, "Exponential change creates exponential fear." Yeah, happenstance is scary, along with exponential hope. Yes, we have hope. We have hope that inspires us to do new things, to take on new disciplines. And we have that hope which is about the relationship, an unmediated relationship that we have with the holy, with the divine, with God in our lives right now. Change is about endings and beginnings and the necessary relationship between the two. So may God give us grace to face with fear, face with hope what is happenstantial in our lives, to face with discipline the intentional in our lives, and to meet with openness what is the relationship in our life between God and ourselves.